The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
In 1993, at the age of 11, my next guest became the youngest person in Ireland to have a heart transplant. It was a huge news story at the time, and in fact, I interviewed him from his hospital bed. Well, Patrick Barry is taking part in the 100 miles a month challenge for February to thank the Mater Hospital for the life-saving care that he received all those years ago. And Patrick is on the line. Patrick, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Nice to speak to you again. Many moons ago was the last time, but it's nice to speak to you. It'd be actually 28 years this December.
This December, 28 years. Well, I'm delighted to speak to you because back in those pioneering days of heart transplants, particularly in children, there was no guarantee that, you know, we'd be talking 10 years from that date, never mind 28 years. So it's a fantastic success story.
Yeah, it was quite early on in the transplant program in the Mater, pioneered by Morris Snelling and Freddie Woods and people like that. It was very uncertain, trial and error back then, and very, very lucky. I've been successful ever since. I think youth was on my side. I was only 11, too sick to go over to Great Ormond Street. Just caught a virus, just was never sick in my life, just caught a virus, needed a heart. And it was scary times, I suppose. But more scary when I think back, because I have a daughter who's 11 now myself, and I was 11 when I got her. You know, at the time, you're always thinking positive, but it's just when I think back, Jesus, it was crazy times. Like,
yeah, because what your parents went through at that stage, looking at their 11-year-old son, and the odds were not great. As you said, you're in Crumlin. If a heart had become available in the UK, too sick to travel. That was the issue.
Too sick to travel. Basically, I think it was the August, I started to feel breathless and stuff like that. And nobody knew what was wrong with me. We just really thought it was a 24-hour bug or something like that. And I went to the doctor and they had assumed it was asthma or something like that. And then eventually I got so sick, I was brought to Our Lady's. They'd done an X-ray and my heart was literally swollen up to twice the size it was meant to be. So then they realised, Jesus, it was cardiomyopathy. It was a viral cardiomyopathy. It's quite common in transplant patients. There's a genetic version which runs in the family. Mine was a virus. And I got to the Mater. They done all they could. To Our Ladies. They put me on medication. Sometimes it's reversible. Mine was gone too far, Pat. And they just had to... Me mother and father were devastated. And there was six kids, like, you know, there was two younger than me and three older. So me mother and father was juggling with kids, with work, me dying in Our Ladies. It was a really rough time, but... they broke the news to me. And me being 11 and positive, I just took it all as, sure, we'll get the transplant, we'll get it done. And it's a bit of excitement when I think back of the innocence, like, you know. Jeez, now, I was looking forward to it in a way. It's crazy.
Do you remember much of the process itself?
I remember it all, Pat. I suppose I look at my daughter who's 11 now and I'd say, well, she remember when she's older? But I remember it all. Like, I suppose it's such a traumatic thing. You don't forget these things, but... I remember slowly getting weaker and weaker. At the end, I was just on a drip. I couldn't eat. I was bedridden the whole time. I was down to 4 stone. And my mother had just left me that day in Our Ladies. And I was quite cute for my age. Me being me, they boosted me drip. Say I was on 100 milligrams a day. They boosted to 400. And my brother Paul was there with me. And I said to him, I bet you that's the heart. I bet you it's in. And he was like, stop. And I could see them all running around the ward because back then it was a massive deal, like, you know. And the nurse came in to me and says, the heart's here. And at that stage, this was December 17th, 18th, 2 weeks before that, I'd gone to visit I'd go over to the Mater to see the consultants. And Morris Nelligan was the man at the time. He's late, great Morris Nelligan. He's passed since. I met him with my mother and father, and I remember him turning around to my mother and father saying, your child will not see the new year. Because my mother was like, how sick is my child? Because, you know, it's hard to really know. There was so much going on. And he just, as cardiologists would do to you, they'd be blunt and just say to you, look, your son is quite sick. So me counting up the days in my head as an 11-year-old, out of about 20, 30 days, sure, it'll be fine, like, you know. But it came in, and first time I got it, like, sometimes you hear stories where people come in, it wasn't a match, you're waiting. I was just, luck was on my side completely. First, I went over to the matter. Me and 11-year-old child arriving in to the big old hospital. This was when it was, you know, the old part was real old and big. And me walking in, teams around me running around, anaesthetists prepping me for the operation. Me all taking it in my stride. Me father crying. And I've met a few patients since that were on that ward when I walked in that night. One or two of them had to get a transplant down the line. And then me turning around to me father saying, I don't know what you're crying for. I'm the one going in for the operation. Like, when I think back on it, like.
Now, the aftermath, though, that was a tough one because it's a huge operation. Obviously, they have to open you up. And even the wound, never mind everything else, and the anti-rejection drugs and all the rest of it, a huge challenge getting better.
A huge challenge, Pat. But I'm quite a positive person. I don't have to try to be positive. It's just in me. So I always put a positive spin on it. Like, I was really helped with the team in the marathon. Obviously, this is probably the point that I really have to thank the family and the donor who donated the heart. Such a selfless act to do. And it saved my life, and all I can do is thank them so much. I'm eternally grateful. I think about the donor every day. But Freddie Woods was actually the surgeon that done my operation. At that stage, it was 93. In 92, every operation was done by Freddie and Morris, but they split in 93. They felt they had advanced enough to split, so Freddie Woods done it along with Jim McCarthy, was on the team. He's there now, and... like, even the care I got in the matter was so second to none. Like, I hear from the nurses now that they got a bit worried about Freddie because he got so attached to me. He'd kids about my age. He'd bring up football magazines to me. He'd sit there after hours. Can you imagine the top heart surgeon in Ireland, how busy that man was? And after work every day, he'd come in and sit there for an hour with me and give me magazines and have a chat, and really got me through it. The team in the matter, everyone pulled together. And it made a sort of a positive experience for me because everyone really pulled together, you know.
Did you have any setbacks about, anti-rejection drugs making you sick? Or was there any scare afterwards that the heart might be rejected?
Oh, yeah. Jesus, for the first couple of years, Pat, there was rejection on and off. They'd bring me in and boost me steroid levels. And, you know, as you're growing up as a kid, the steroids would make your face really, you know, bloated and stuff like that. And you... Jeez, I'd be more worried about my face being bloated than actually the dying, because you'd never think you're going to die. I was always very positive anyway. And I had many a setback, but nothing too... I had a massive setback 2 years ago. I'll go into that in a minute. But nothing too bad at all. And I really had a normal life. I was a normal teenager. And my parents never treated me any differently, which subconsciously made me think I was no different. You know, they were so busy with kids, and like through school, the whole lot, all my friends, like, the only thing that would remind me I had a transplant was I'd take tablets morning and night, anti-rejection tablets. I still take them today. But
what happened 2 years ago?
Transplant.
What happened to 2 years ago, Patrick?
So I'll tell you, Pat, I was married 5 years ago to Amanda. We have two kids, which I think about is amazing in itself, because if I didn't get the transplant, the kids wouldn't be here. So it's not only saving lives, it's creating lives, donating organs. So we were down in the Glen Eagle Hotel, where we got married. It was actually on our wedding anniversary, 3 years to the day we got married. I wasn't feeling well for a week or two beforehand. So it was a Tuesday morning. And funny enough, we weren't even meant to get down. And normally on a Tuesday, I'd be in work. I own Wiggler's Wallpaper and Paint. So I would normally be in work early that morning. So I'd be normally behind the desk on my own or in the shop making paint for people and wallpaper and stuff. But I wasn't feeling well. We were down in the Glen Eagle on our anniversary. I walked out to reception after having breakfast that morning and had a cardiac arrest and dropped dead in the ground.
Wow.
Now, this is how lucky it was. I dropped dead in the ground. There was a defibrillator 6 feet from where I was and an off-duty nurse in the breakfast room having breakfast. So,
Patrick,
very traumatic. Yeah.
Do you buy lottery tickets every week?
No,
you should.
Lotto, I think I've won the lotto enough, Pat. I think that we'll leave it to someone else. I've got enough luck. But, and again, all I have to do is thank the Glen Eagle, because they had a defibrillator there and there was an off-duty nurse. But then one of the managers, Geraldine, took over CPR. Now, I obviously remember none of this. But me two kids, I have two young girls, Lucy and Emily, and me wife Amanda, she's been there from the very start with me. And they were all there witnessing this, me getting CPR, and it was a traumatic time. Again, over my head, I woke up a couple of days. I was brought to Tralee immediately. They got me back, thank God. I was brought to Tralee. I woke up roughly 3 days later, back in the matter in ICU. They'd got me up. And again, the matter saves me life, second time round. Really the best of care. Like, I mean the best of care. Under doctors like Professor O'Neill and Emer Joyce, these are the ones taking on the medicine from the likes of Freddie Woods and stuff. The care they give you in there is second to none. And just nursed back to life, and I was fine. It turned out, Professor O'Neill was telling me, it could have been, they done all tests and I was fine. This is the funny thing. So it could have been, due to all the years, they would have done biopsies of my heart, you know, to check for anti-rejection. And it could form some scar tissue on your heart. So it turned out, a beat my went up one side and didn't get down another, and my heart just stopped.
Okay.
So they,
there was nothing...
The defibrillator inside me.
That'll keep you going?
Nothing untoward, which is very positive again. I had a pacemaker fitted, but they fitted the defibrillator in me, and they said it might never happen again. Like, I was fit my whole life past, still am. Played football at a high level, played tennis, even got into boxing, which is crazy to think about when I had a heart transplant. Like, but always busy. And like the last couple of years, I was always very, you know, I took over my business and we're always very busy in wallpaper and paint. I was a painter for years. I actually got my degree in engineering in college, funny enough, from school. But went on to take over Wigadors, very busy at that. And so I was always second, you know. It's only as you get older you realise, Jesus, what the matter done for you. If I can give back in any way I can. That's why I'm doing the 100 miles and raising awareness for organ donation, because it really needs to get out there, because it makes such a difference, you know?
Yeah, well, you've certainly alerted all our listeners to your cause, because your story is phenomenal. And it's so great to talk to you again after so many years, Patrick. Everyone who wants to get involved can go to matterfoundation.ie/donate and get involved there. But Patrick, thank you very, very much for joining us on the programme today.
No problem, Pat. And it was really, thanks very much for the opportunity of getting it out there. And I really, really nice to talk to you again after all these years. I'll see
after
you again in about 28
years,
Pat. Is that okay?
That'll be some doing on my part, I can tell you. Patrick, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.